This is Olive, and I'm 11 years old, and I live in Southside.
This is Cooper, and I'm 4 years old.
This is Elena. I'm 13 years old and live in Spickley.
This is Julian. I'm 14 years old and live in Highland Park. And this is the Kidsburg Podcast.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for the Kidsburg Podcast. We're excited to share with you a whole lot of inspiration, ideas, and honest answers to questions we've asked teens from the Pittsburgh area. I'm Kidsburg producer and KDKA anchor Christine Sorensen, and I'm here with my partners on the Kidsburg team.
I'm Melissa Rayworth, the editor at Kidsburg, and I am so glad we can share today's interview about healthy, easy ways to feed our families.
And I'm Kidsburg's director, Yuling Chang. There are so many valuable ideas in this episode. As our regular listeners know, we start every episode with a Pittsburgh gem, someplace that's truly cool but not everybody in this region may know about. Today, we're talking about indoor pools at local YMCA locations.
So a couple of years ago at Kidsburg, we published a guide to indoor swimming pools in the Pittsburgh region, and it very quickly became one of our most popular guides. Among the options that were on that list are pools at local YMCAs. Now, there are several pools at Pittsburgh YMCAs in the city and surrounding areas, and then many further out as well. And they offer day passes for non-members. So you can get a membership and your family can go year-round and drop in anytime throughout the winter. But you can also get a day pass if it's something just out of the blue your family would like to do. The day passes for adults range from $10 to $20, and they cost between $5 and $10 for kids, depending on the location. And there are so many great locations. The Spencer Family YMCA in Bethel Park has a lovely kiddie pool play area. And the Butler County YMCA location includes a lap pool, a warm water pool, a slide, and a zero depth entry with sprayers for little kids. So any of these places can give you the experience of not quite being at a water park, but something that approximates that with so little travel and really a pretty limited cost.
You know, and this is something you don't think about doing in the wintertime, and you should. It's a great way to spend time together. You get so much exercise in. I mean, I think swimming is something really fun, but you really burn a lot of calories.
Yeah.
The kids have fun.
Yep.
And it may seem like a hassle, but once you're in the pool and you jump out, it's just like anything else.
I mean,
you have to change clothes and wash another load of laundry and you're done.
You pack a bag before you leave home and you've got everybody's swim stuff and the clothes that they can have on and it's a nice warm place they're going to be. But it's a great way for your whole family to get some exercise and experience the warmth for a few hours and then head back out into the cold.
And I love how you can't have a screen, iPad,
yes,
a phone in or near the pool. So it's just pure good old-fashioned fun. There's always fun games that kids come up with in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just so much room for so much play of all ages.
Yeah. And it's just kind of a nice surprise in the middle of the winter to say to the kids, hey, let's go swimming today. So at kidsburg.org, you can find our guides to indoor pools and indoor play spaces, as well as outdoor fun and exercise options that you can find throughout the Pittsburgh region. To learn more, look for the links at kidsburg.org/podcast.
Pittsburgh is Kidsburg. You're listening to the Kidsburg Podcast.
Food is such a big part of our lives. It always feels like as soon as one meal ends, we're thinking about the next one. And as parents, what we feed our kids is critical to their health and growth. But 1 in 5 children ages 2 to 19 is obese. Now, this might not be surprising given that nearly 1 in 3 adults is overweight and 42% have obesity. So, what can families do to help kids maintain a healthy weight? Or if they're already overweight or obese, work toward getting healthier? Dietitian Leslie Bonsi is here to help, and she has worked with everyone from professional athletes as a team dietitian for the Pittsburgh Pirates and others, as well as with families who want to develop healthy eating habits for their kids. Leslie, thanks for being part of the Kidsburgh Podcast.
I am thrilled to be here today. And you know, I think first and foremost, parents need to be role models. It isn't really fair to tell your kid they're going to do one thing and you do something entirely different.
Great point.
That is so helpful. How might we do that as parents, you know, if we're looking at how we're going to model healthy food choices and healthy eating in our homes? What can that look like?
Yeah, so I think first of all, eating should be a participatory event, right? It is an eating occasion, not just an obligation. So everybody accounted for, everybody sitting down, without being distracted by other types of things, and also everybody being involved in the preparation up. There have been some really cool research looking at kids who are part of the process. I mean, even little ones, if it's setting the table or just hands-on stirring something in a bowl, will actually derive more satisfaction from food than just showing up at the table to eat when somebody else did all the work.
So getting involved is really important,
yes.
But there are a lot of factors leading to the obesity problem. So what's happening?
There's a lot of different things happening. One, we've become much more sedentary, many of us, all the way around. And we don't just blame that on the pandemic. It's kind of there are a lot of devices out there that make our lives incredibly easy so we don't have to do the work. Secondly, people are busier, right? So we're busier all the time and less time wanting to be able to devote to what happens in the house or going and buying food and all those types of things. And we may not be moving as much. So it's not, let's just point at one food and say that's the issue. No, it isn't, because the reality is the consumption of some of those foods hasn't really changed all that much. But what has changed a lot is the fact that we don't move as much or that we may not be able to be sitting down to a meal. It's drive-by eating, right?
So we've got the idea of modeling healthy eating at home ourselves and healthy habits with our kids, getting them involved in preparing food, and also moving more as a family. What about sleep? I feel like I'm beginning to see more and more research that talks about the real importance of sleep, which a lot of us don't get enough of.
Absolutely. Many of us don't. We're kind of reliant upon like the coffee, like mean without caffeine, right? That kind of a thing. The big issue here is that when we don't have enough sleep, in addition to some of the other things it might do to blood pressure, blood glucose, blood lipids, is that sleep actually disrupts the hormones that affect appetite. So when we don't have enough sleep, we tend to produce more ghrelin, and that's the hormone that's kind of activated. What am I going to eat next? And we produce less leptin, which is the hormone that says, you had enough, go find something else to do. So definitely it has a role to play.
That's so interesting because when I spent many years, especially when my kids were little, often working late at night mm-hmm. once everybody had gone to bed.
Right.
And I thought I was hungry just because I was up and I was hungry. But literally by living on that schedule where I averaged maybe 5 or so hours of sleep at night, I was chemically making sure that I would feel hungry and not feel full. So for parents whose kids might already be overweight, maybe the parents are overweight too, what do they need to look at in terms of what food they're putting on the table?
First and foremost, we're not thinking about diet per se, because that is deprivation, right? That is restriction. That's I'm only eating a tiny amount. And quite frankly, when somebody might be living in a larger body, eating a tiny amount just isn't going to cut it. But one of the things that is true across the board is intake of fruit and vegetable. It's at an all-time low right now. And those are the foods that are part of the fill up, not fill out. And so even if we think this concept of volume, not necessarily downsize what we eat, but right-size the food that we don't eat enough of so we feel fuller, we have more fiber, we're consuming more fluid because that is in those foods, and that is a win-win all the way around.
And I know in my house, snacking is a big problem mm-hmm. for all of us, myself included, but especially kids, that can be a challenge. What do you recommend to kind of pare back on that?
So I think it's even changing what the snacks are. So you know, if we start with looking at produce as one of those components of a snack, all right, I'm doing an apple and some cheese. I'm doing a banana and some peanut butter, right? That kind of a thing. When my kids were young, and we had soccer, we had trombone, we had everything under the sun after school. And if they didn't eat, then they were horrific children to be around. So we did do something after school. It was kind of like mini dinner, but it wasn't just the apple or just the granola bar. Let's have, you know, how about a bowl of cereal as a snack? Seriously. Why? Because you put it in a bowl, you use a utensil, you're not just sticking your face in the bowl. It takes longer to eat that food. And that's a way to add some fruit and a bowl of cereal.
Love it. So interesting. So I love what you're talking about adding good things, making sure your house, your kitchen, your pantry, whatever, is full of positive things so that when people do want their snacks or they are sitting down, they're adding more good and they don't feel like they're just cutting out the things they'd love to have. We would love your thoughts about breakfast ideas because I think often, as you said, families are so busy. In the morning, everybody's in a hurry. ideally, it would be great if you could slowly take your time and make some beautiful breakfast full of fruits and vegetables, but it can be hard. So
not happening. And so one of the things that I think is important, and really even little ones can be part of this process, is do we do it the night before, right? Not waiting until the morning of when everybody's already on edge to get out the door. Can
so
you do
smart.
The yogurt parfait ahead of time? Of course. Can you pour bowls of cereal ahead of time? Yes, you can. You just don't put the milk in it until the morning time. Can you do overnight oats? Yes. I make little egg muffins. We do that in advance. So it's kind of like individual omelets. It doesn't take any more time, but it's done. And so then we have that ready to go. Or even the idea of a wrap ahead of time. You can do peanut butter ahead of time. Just wait and put the banana in the morning, and there we go.
All right, so we got breakfast down. Let's talk lunch. Packing lunches is not easy sometimes. Give us some ideas of healthy foods that kids will actually eat and not just go in the garbage.
You know what? I really love the idea of like bento box kinds of things because then it's a little bit of lots instead of just, oh, that turkey sandwich again.
So if someone doesn't know what a bento box is, explain
what
that is.
So it's really like a little square that has individual compartments in it. And that way it could be I've got a little bit of fruit cut up. I have a dip in there. I have a peanut butter that I'm going to dip an apple in. I have even something like turkey pepperoni, which is kind of fun to eat, and it's shelf-stable, so we don't have to worry about something sitting for a couple of hours. So we can do kind of like the deconstructed sandwich thing, and then have a child can assemble it themselves. Oh, I put a little mini pita in there, and maybe I have a little bit of shredded cheese, and I have a little bit of turkey pepperoni, and I could wrap that all together, and I could dip it in salsa.
Love it.
So, I mean, these types of things, and kids can be involved in the process. Why should mom or dad or whoever the caregiver is, grandma, have to be making the decisions all the time? How do we know what our children like? We don't. Let them be part of it.
And I want to ask about drinks because sometimes people don't think of the calories in drinks. Mm. What do you recommend for kids, especially when it comes to juice?
Volume is the thing. So when we think about juice, a half a cup of juice is equivalent to what a piece of fruit would be. But not a thermos filled with, you know, the ones that are the individual one with the straw. Yes, that's the size that we're talking about. If it's going to be something larger, we could put 4 ounces of juice into the thermos and fill the rest with water. That works. Then we're still getting the fluid in, but it isn't so much. There are other products that are out there. Plessy is one of the ones that's out there that it's a little lower in terms of the sugar content. So I think it's really important for parents to look at that. And then certainly the options in school, I was asking our almost 8-year-old little man, is what he drinks for lunch at school. He said, well, Grandma, they have regular milk and then they have chocolate milk. And I said, which one do you pick? He said, it depends upon my mood for the day. But all right, fine. But, you know, he's having milk because it's there. And that's another option. Water is an option. And a lot of things that are targeted to kids, it's like calorically, it's a lot. Mm. And you know, one of the things, especially with kids that are living in larger bodies, is you don't feel full when you drink a beverage that has a high calorie cost. Mm. You feel full when you eat a food that takes up real estate in the stomach. So that's really where we want to be selective on where we emphasize the calories.
Wow. And to be clear what those are not processed foods. Those are what, whole foods and proteins?
But, you know, when we think about process, so if you bought a canned green bean, nothing wrong with that. It's just that it's been heated. So that's the definition of process. But in general, any kind of a fruit or a vegetable, even something like popcorn. Why popcorn? Because that takes up a lot of room in the stomach. That's a high fiber food. That's a fun food to eat. And again, sometimes with kids that are living in larger bodies, it's a volume thing. Well, if you give me this much, I know I'm going to be hungry if I have a teeny tiny amount.
If you just air pop some popcorn at home and create this mix, like you said, maybe you do throw in just a few chocolate chips or something, then, like you said, that can take up a whole lot of space in a school lunch and the kid's excited, but they're not getting a bunch of other chemicals.
And because they're getting something that requires chewing and bigger volume, that's far more satisfying, right? Mm. Than just, I've got a little bar and, well, I ate that in 2 bites and now what?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the other thing is utensils. I'm a very big believer in that. We feel more satisfied when we eat something with a utensil because it takes longer to eat it.
Wow.
If it's a handheld food,
it's gone.
1, 2, 3, and we're done. So nobody's cutting a bar into little pieces, right? That would be weird. But, you know, with a pasta salad or even with something like popcorn, we don't eat that quickly. It takes us a little bit more time. Or if I have a fruit cut up and I'm dipping it in something, that's taking me longer to eat it.
Yeah.
And that's part of the satiety, right? It's not just about what we eat. It's how we eat the food.
All right. Well, you've given us such good ideas about breakfast and about lunch. dinner, especially weeknight dinners, I think can be very challenging for busy families. Like you said, so many people have after school activities, whatever. So are there any strategies you might share with us about making sure that the weeknight meal is hopefully something that's going to make everybody a bit healthier and not potentially contribute to obesity? Because you can understand why so many families may end up passing through the drive-through or whatever because they are so busy on a weeknight.
And this is also hands-on, hands-in. Everybody is part of the process at dinner time, and that ability to customize and individualize. So if we do tacos, okay, so-and-so wants to have some chicken and salsa, and so-and-so wants to get a little bit more adventuresome and put some shredded lettuce or cabbage on there. It's the same item, but everybody can customize to the way that they want. I'm a very big believer in incorporating the beans, but a lot of kids eat from Chipotle, and that's the bean that they use there. Or when they're mashed, like a little bit of hummus can be there as part of a meal. It can be incorporated into a salad dressing. It's like, okay, there's the bean, or this cannellini bean, pureeing them in mac and cheese. I am telling you now, nobody knows that they're there. That's a really easy thing to do. It adds the fiber. No difference in the taste, you know, though, or, you know, the stir fry thing. It's kind of one thing is, you know, who wants carrots and who wants celery and who wants whatever. And then that's still a simple thing. And when we are talking about kids that are living in larger bodies or even parents for that matter, kind of the look of the plate is ideally one half of the plate is going to be produce. Now, that could be fruit as part of dinner. It's not like that can't be. It could be fruit and vegetable. And then one third of the plate is the protein. So if that's chicken, if that's fish, if that's meat, if it's tofu, whatever. And then one quarter of the plate is the rice or the pasta or the potato. Because honestly, when we eat spaghetti, it's not that anybody's saying, plain noodles, delicious. Like, no, it's the stuff that's on it that makes the difference, right? So that kind of a thing where we're changing the balance of power on the plate actually makes it a lot more enjoyable. But even this idea, when we think we go out to eat, and if we order more than one item, do they bring the appetizer, salad, and entree at the same time? Never. No restaurant does that. Okay, let's all have salad first. And then let us get our food. Why? It takes longer to eat that way. It makes it an active meal. And the other thing I will say, I'm a very big believer in this, except maybe for holidays when everybody wants to showcase what they've made and they want it on the table, do not serve family style. Because a lot of time that spoon is there and it finds its way onto our plate. Mm-hmm. Like, how did that happen? Because it's right there. You know, let kids also portion themselves, not parents portioning for them.
Really?
We do not know what it is that our kids need to eat. And sometimes, well, everybody gets the same amount. That's not necessarily appropriate for a 5-year-old versus a 45-year-old, right? And if they don't eat at all, so be it. It's okay. This is how we learn about what portions are appropriate for us.
Oh, so interesting. I had never thought of that in terms of what you said with restaurants. Not only do most families, I think, put everything on the table at once and serve family style, but then you wonder, like, your kid has taken a big scoop of mac and cheese and they took, like, 2 little leaves of lettuce from the bowl of salad. Mm-hmm. If, like you said, you put out that bowl of salad first, and this comes back to your modeling behavior, everybody's going to have their salad first. The adults do that. The kids do that. Then you bring out the next stuff. Your kids already filled up a little bit on that salad, and that's great. But also then, if everyone just gets a serving and then everything's back on the counter or in the kitchen, the kid isn't going to be taking more mac and cheese before they've finished their meat or whatever.
Leslie, you've got me so excited to cook, and I'm not even someone who likes to cook. So I am excited about all these great ideas and eating healthier as a family. Thanks so much.
Oh, you're certainly welcome.
My takeaway from this interview is you just have to make it a priority to have a good diet, to sleep well, to move around, right? You can't keep thinking I'll get to it. You have to make it a priority. And the reason why, this is what I really took away, is because I have to be a good role model for my kids. And I need them to understand that eating well, sleeping well, and exercising is important. And if I'm not doing it, my kids won't be doing it.
I really loved what she had to say about getting kids involved in preparing food, just being a part of all the steps of the meal, that that's not just something occasionally, once in a while, if they feel like it, they get involved, that it really ought to be a regular thing. I kind of wish I had done more of that when my kids were younger, but I think it can start at any time.
And I love how she makes it fun. I mean, whether it's packing lunches or
coming up with recipes you can do together. It doesn't have to be a chore, because it does happen a lot every single meal. It's like, here's another one. What are we going to eat? But she really came up with some fun ideas. And I think food can be fun as well as healthy.
Absolutely.
And you can find a link to Leslie Bonsi's website with more resources at kidsburg.org/podcast.
You're listening to the Kidsburg Podcast.
Pittsburg is Kidsburg.
Does your child like to cook? The students at SLB Radio's Youth Media Center helped us out by asking other students this question. What are your favorite dishes to make? Let's hear what they said.
I think my favorite thing to cook is lemon pepper salmon. I make the best when it comes to that, because I get it from my dad. He used to make salmon a lot, so it was kind of like I got my attributes from him.
I'm going to say I'm not that well of a good cook yet, but something that I like to make, chicken Alfredo, and it turned out pretty good.
I'll normally make some type of like pasta, because I feel like it's kind of easy. You just put like the pasta and you put it in the water, you boil it, and it's basically done. And I add like some type of like cheese sauce, because I find that kind of easy. Or I might just put like Parmesan and like butter on top, and like it starts to melt a little bit. I love it.
Oh, my favorite dishes to make? I really like a lemon and shrimp linguine with like a garlic sauce and spinach. I also like a bunch of different types of fish, especially if like I caught the fish and filleted it. Like if I do like breaded fish, then it tastes really good.
From the Youth Media Center at SLB Radio, I'm Evan.
This is Isolena.
From the Youth Media Center at SLB Radio, this is C.
This is Travis.
We covered a lot in this episode, and we've got much more to come in the next Kidsburg podcast.
We'll be dropping 3 more new podcast episodes in the coming weeks, and you can also check out the episodes we already have out if you haven't heard them already.
Just go to kidsburg.org/podcast to find them all, and be sure to sign up for our free weekly Kidsburg newsletter to find the news stories and online guides that help grown-ups with the big, beautiful job of parenting in the Pittsburgh region and beyond.
Thanks for joining us for the Kidsburg Podcast.
This is Rocco. I'm in 7th grade and homeschooled, and this is the Kidsburg Podcast.
On the next Kidsburg Podcast, find out what Common Sense Media can teach kids and parents about navigating the world of online content.
Until then, we hope you'll visit kidsburg.org to learn about the resources and advice from local experts that can help all kids have the best opportunity to thrive.